What has happened? Why have we rewritten stuff? Why are we creating this new set of rules and facts? God has spoken, and God says, you, as charming as you are, God says you are deserving of His wrath.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message, How to Know If Your Faith is Real, Part 1. Last week, in the first part of this message, Pastor Grant took us to the book of James to answer the question as to whether or not works has anything to do with salvation by grace. This week, in the concluding part of that message, Pastor Grant takes up that question again as it is addressed in Scripture. Once again, this series of messages is intended to invite self-examination, so if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and listen as Pastor Grant concludes this message entitled, How to Know If Your Faith is Real, Part 1. Here again is Pastor Grant.
But thank God for verse number 4. But God, hallelujah, listen, I was deserving of wrath, but God. Verse says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Thank God that despite how bad we were, amen? Young lady, despite what you have done, sir, despite what you have done, the good news is that God loved you while you were in a mess. And while you were in a mess, God loved you, and Jesus Christ came, and He died for your sin, and He died for my sin. And so verse number 4 says, God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love. Verse 5, even when we're dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and that is hallelujah ground. He has made us alive. We were dead, but He has made us alive. He has given us everlasting life, eternal life, the life of God. What a thing He has done. No wonder the choir was singing. No wonder the choir was singing that beautiful, I've got a Savior, and He's what? He's sweet. I know, hallelujah, for the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. But listen, listen, we must grasp the necessity of grace. We need grace because we're dead in sin. But number 2, the passage here in Ephesians 2 makes it clear we cannot work for our salvation, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Is it in your Bible? We can't work for salvation. Good works don't cut it. You could go to church and you could be on every committee. You could be a deacon. You could be a choir member. You could be the pastor. Not important. Oh, you say, but I have paid my dues. My tithes is always up. Listen, good works before you get saved, there is no credit in heaven. Am I right about it? Good works before you are saved give you no credit in heaven. Because my Bible tells me very, very clearly in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, the Bible says, listen, all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. I told you once, I believe I told you this, and I say to you again, as ugly a picture as it is, sometimes it's good for us to get an idea how ugly it is. God is saying the good works that you think are going to make help you to get to heaven. I want you to realize that the word filthy rags is actually a word that was used for when a woman was going through that time of the month. And God wants, God is actually painting a picture. And he's letting you know, you can do all the good you want. It ain't getting you into heaven. So what have we learned so far? Listen, this miracle, we must grasp the necessity of grace. We cannot work for our salvation. And thirdly, salvation can only be received by faith. And so verse number 8 tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. You see, grace is God's part. Faith is your part. The journey starts with faith. So don't get me wrong. You may be thinking, oh, Pastor, were you saying faith is not necessary? Faith is critical. The issue is not whether you exercise faith. The issue that we're dealing with this morning is, are you sure that faith is real faith? Are you with me this morning? There is faith that's not real. Real faith, and we're going there now. Real faith, something happens when there's real faith. Don't leave me as I go to point number three. God pre-planned that good works should follow salvation. Look with me right there. We are already at Ephesians chapter 2. So look with me at verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen, works cannot save, but saving faith works. Did you get that? Works cannot save, but saving faith works. The verse tells us that every believer is a masterpiece of God. Amen? Do you believe you are a masterpiece of God? The verse says, you are his workmanship. God has actually recreated you. You are a masterpiece of God. But God now tells us that every one of these masterpieces that he has created them for a purpose. What does your Bible says in verse number 10? He says, he has recreated you for good works, which he has planned in advance for you to do. Come on now. The rubber is starting to get to the road. Because if you are a Christian, real faith must generate good works. You got quiet on me. Real faith must generate good works. Because God has pre-planned that these masterpieces that he has created will walk in good works. Is your life demonstrating these good works? Now, let me just pause here just for a minute. Last week we spoke about, one of the things we brought to your attention last week, is that God's grand purpose is to make us what? Like Christ. You remember that? By the way, I encourage you before, after you take these notes, make sure when you go home, before you go to bed that night, you go over your notes so that what you're learning actually is sinking in. But God's grand purpose is to make us like Christ. So folks, you obviously can't get there with the works of the flesh. I want you to make the connection. If God's purpose is to make us like Christ, then it means that once I am saved, the works I do must be works that are making me more like Christ. Is it making any sense? The works of the flesh. So you said, Pastor, what are these works of the flesh? Galatians 1, just one, you'll just have to turn the page one time, and here you are at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. He says here, verse number 19 in Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are. It's so funny, so it's evident, because this is so... You don't have to look hard to find the works of the flesh, amen? Am I right about it? You don't have to go searching. He said, the works of the flesh are evident, which are these, he says. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy. By the way, you notice there are a lot of things that we say, oh, it's just a little thing. Murder, drunkenness, revelries, and then he say, and the like. He just wants you to know it's not a complete list. Lest you sit in church this morning and say, thank God my stuff is not in here. He says, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, listen. The works of the flesh are not going to get you to look like Jesus. What it needs, good works. You say, well, what does he mean when he talks about good works? He's not saying to rush out and join the Rotary and join the all the various associations that are doing good works. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about are works that are not motivated by the flesh, but works that are motivated by the Spirit. Things, actions, lifestyle that's motivated by the Spirit of God. So are you getting it? This is not, you know, you can do good, think you're doing good work because it's of the flesh. He is saying that the Spirit of God who now lives in you wants to prompt you to do things that are getting you to look like Jesus. Somebody say amen. Are you getting it? These works of the flesh are works that are motivated by the Spirit of God, so that you're doing things that God wants you to do. It may be joining the Rotary. It may be helping with this project to Haiti. It may be a number of things. But it's Spirit motivated to make you more like Jesus. Oh, might we have that sort of ambition. So what did I just say? God pre-planned that good works should follow salvation.
Please stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. On Sunday, April 9th through Sunday, May 7th, Pastor Grant will be presenting a series of messages based on the book, The Case for Christ. This is the true story of an award-winning investigative journalist and avowed atheist who applies his well-honed journalistic and legal skills to disprove the newfound Christian faith of his wife with unexpected life-altering results. Join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as Pastor Grant presents a Bible-based message integrating historical, reasoned, and evidential basis for our Christian faith. And now we rejoin Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Fourth, faith without works is not real. That might sound tough, but is that what we just read in James? So let's go back to James for a minute and see some what it says. Faith without works is not real. And we saw that. It tells you, verse number 20, I'm going to pick up the verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. The scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Don't miss verse 23. Abraham was counted righteous when? Answer me back. Give the pastor some, the preacher some feedback. When was Abraham, according to verse 23, accounted as being righteous? When what? When he believed God. Don't miss that. Abraham was counted righteous when he put his faith in God in Genesis chapter 15. That's what the text tells you right here. But how do we know his faith was real? That's the issue. How do we know it was real faith and not counterfeit faith? His willingness to offer his son in Genesis 22 was the action of a changed heart. Real faith always results in a transformed life. Sometimes the evangelical church has been preaching a message sometimes that sounds like all you need to do is say a little prayer that we have given you, and if you recite that prayer, you are saved. But I'm here to tell you that real faith always produces evidence. Real faith always produces a transformed life. And would to God we would grasp that this morning, that 2 Corinthians 5:17 is still in the Bible. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creature. I want to ask you, is there evidence of a transformation in your life? Yes, you say you have faith. Is it real faith? Has this faith resulted in a transformation in your life? A transformation that makes you want to obey and please God? Because that's what happens here in the case of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and God asked him to do almost the most difficult thing imaginable. He has been waiting for this son, and now finally, at 100 years old, this son is born. But now Abraham is about 115 years old, and God says, take this son and offer him. Real faith transforms the life, and real faith, as a result of this transformed life, it produces good works. It has a change of lifestyle. I had a friend when we were teenagers. She was a little older than we were, but she hung around. She did everything with us. She did evangelism with us. She went, but it turns out we all thought she was saved, and she would also have told you she was saved. In her 30s, it finally hit her. Her faith was counterfeit. She had never made a true commitment of her life to Jesus Christ. And I'm here to say that it's possible that somebody here this morning has been coming along and going with the flow, but you have never really had a true faith. True faith results in a transformed life. Warren Wiersbe said, people with dead faith know the correct vocabulary for prayer and testimony and can even quote the right verses from the Bible, but their walk does not measure up to their talk. And then here's what Wiersbe says. They think that their words are as good as their works. Did you hear that? They think their words are as good as their works, but they are wrong. Real faith are accompanied by works. Real faith must be accompanied by works. Must be. And this is one of the reasons why in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe we're going to put it on the board for you so you don't have to turn. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Read it with me. It says what? Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. It's not for me and Brother Leroy and Brother Charles and Brother George to test you. By the way, we do ask questions to do the best we can, but it's for you to test yourself. Because I'm simply saying, it's possible that you're here this morning and you have a counterfeit faith. It's not real. And if I were you, I'd want to make sure I have the real McCoy. A transformed life. Fifth and finally, if we live in willful disobedience, we may have a false faith. If we live in willful disobedience, we may have a false faith. There's so much emphasis in our churches today about church growth that some preachers are preaching a salvation that doesn't require repentance, a faith that doesn't require a change in lifestyle. People are thinking they're on their way to heaven, and their lifestyle is like the devil. That's not the faith of the Bible. One last passage of scripture. Matthew 17. Matthew 7. And then I'm going to sit down. Here's what it says in Matthew 7, verse 18. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by your fruits, you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Isn't this sobering? Not everyone who prays, not everybody who calls on the name of the Lord and says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who what? Does the will of my Father in heaven. Don't miss that. He who does. Real faith must be accompanied by doing. Real faith results in a transformed life. And as a result of this transformed life, good works follow. If you are watching the dogs in my opening illustration, while they were on the chase, you would never realize that only one dog had seen the rabbit. When you saw them chasing, you would never know. Do you know it's possible that we all in church seem to be chasing God, but not everybody has seen the prize? Are you sure you have received the prize? Are you sure that you have real faith? Real faith results in a transformed life. Real faith must be accompanied by good works. So this morning, God says to every one of us, test yourself. Don't depend on your baptism. Don't depend on a day that you said a prayer. Test yourself. Has my life been transformed? And if you're not sure your faith is real, make sure today. And if you're here and you're sure your faith is real, but you're sitting at ease, make a commitment today. God, I am your masterpiece, created to do good works. God, you have my life. I'm yours. Use me.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sin and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.